There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. This week, we try to give us all hope. In a week when my own life has been disrupted by playoff despair, I find solace in knowing that there's always hope further down the line. Two clubs who just a few seasons ago were on the brink of never playing again, celebrating the power of the passion of the people behind them and the success of promotion back to where they belong. First up, we chat with Mike Williamson, manager at Gateshead FC, who this week wrapped up the National North title just three seasons following their demotion from the National League, putting them back there next season and in a far stronger position off the field too. It was 5 years since the vice chairman at Skelmersdale United broke most of our hearts with his emotional interview that suggested his family's involvement for over 100 years with the club may have to come to an end. Most of you may well remember this.
As of tomorrow, yeah, the 31st, we will not be playing football at any level.
Norman Fenny there. He's the most asked about guest I think we've ever had, the vice chairman at Skelmersdale United, and it's great to have him back on the show to tell us about the club thriving at their new home, winning the Interstep playoff at the weekend to get back to step four, and still having a cup semi-final to look forward to this weekend. Rounding off the show indeed is John Couch, executive editor at the Non-League Paper, as we take a look at the playoff winners, the final rolls of the dice in the National League, and what's to come in this weekend's paper. Plenty to come then. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So let's start this week then with a man who perhaps had one of the toughest baptisms as a manager 3 years ago, not helped by the COVID pandemic, but this week has been able to celebrate promotion back to the top tier of non-league. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Champions of the National North, Gateshead FC, Mr. Mike Williamson. Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
I say it was a tough baptism. You first came to the club as a player in a season when there was the financial turmoil, and that basically meant that the contracts that you had were next to worthless. You then took on a coaching role to help the club through, and then the demotion out of the top tier, you took on the player-manager role. And I guess, really, when you became player-manager, you had little more than a set of shirts. I mean, your dedication and commitment has to be saluted, but did you ever wonder what you got yourself into?
Well, no, not really, because it was just, as much as you say a baptism and how crazy things were, it was all novel. And it's just the way we see it when me and Ian took over, it's just all learning. And, the more you have to do, the more you've got to deal with, the more on your plate is, the more opportunities you get to understand things. And, from the infrastructure of the whole football club to the community, to building a whole team, and it's fantastic. It was a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, you have learned. I'm sure every day's been a learning experience and that sort of thing. But not everybody does learn. Sometimes it could have quite easily just been overwhelming. But you just seem to have taken every step and made progress all the way along.
Well, I mean, it's not hard to make progress when you've got zero staff, zero players, zero equipment.
The only way is up, I think, yes.
Exactly, yeah. Like I say, when me and Ian, took over, we walked in the building. We had a list of targets, and I think the first 12 targets turned us all down because we had no club, no team, nobody to, and obviously from the previous regime, it was unstable kind of grounds. And it took a while, but then we ended up getting players to sign on into the vision that we were creating and that we wanted to build. And now, yeah, lads that have been with us through those turbulent years, it's paid off and they've got their reward.
Yeah, and as a player, you must have had some great memories, you know, winning the championship at Newcastle, playing in the Premier League. You're not even 40 yet. As a manager, I've been saying that all season that the National North is the toughest league in the pyramid, I think. I mean, it's some feat. Where do you go from now?
National League, I think. Yeah, like I say, for me, physically, I still feel great. You know, I think I'll be coming into my prime in around my early 40s. So looking forward to that side of it. And as a manager, yeah, like I say, I've been fortunate enough to be given the opportunity, firstly, by, you know, the chairman and the board who have been brilliant and backed me. It's been as transparent as possible as a working relationship in terms of their learning, I'm learning. And we've got the club's best interests at heart, the community. And it's obviously not been without its problems and issues and setbacks and ups and downs and roller coasters. Obviously, you know, getting knocked out in the semi-final of the playoffs and things like that. I mean, even that season, I had in my heart that we were going to get promoted. I truly had that belief. And then we got knocked out and, you know, it's a difficult one to take. But yeah, we bounced back. And the first full season, you know, you can't ask for a better return.
Yeah, and yeah, there was that other COVID abortive season as well, where you were there, and then it all stopped. I mean, with those setbacks as well, and knowing where you come in, surely there must have been times where you might have thought that maybe there were the other options out there for you.
Not at all, really. Like you say, you know, when you're fully bought in. On the wider, bigger picture, listen, I've got 5 kids at home and they keep me on my toes enough. So when you're looking at the bigger picture of the world situation and scenario, of course it's frustrating because we love football and we're in it to compete every week. And when it does get knocked on the head like it did so abruptly, it's hard to take, and all the work that you've put in, you sometimes feel a bit frustrated. But like you say, it's just getting that crystal clear picture and dealing with the controllables and moving forward. And like I say, I think with all of the ups and downs that we've experienced, I think it's just kept bringing us closer, getting our process and our understanding tighter and cleaner. And then, yeah, we get the first full season, you know, run at it, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah, so 3 years ago, the club's literally days from no longer existing. It's now back in the top tier of non-league football. You've mentioned the great people that you've got around you, you know, both fans, but also a board and that sort of thing. Is the club on a sound footing now on and off the field?
Yeah, like I say, sound footing in this day and age, you know, you can never speak with definite, but from the guys that have come in, everything that I've spoke about with them, and obviously you have to sit down about next season, but yeah, it's got a solid foundation back, and it's got the core, the community at the heart of the club, who are looking after it, the owners have come in, really, you know, lifelong supporters and businessmen. And they've got the best interests. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they've given me all the guarantees that they are on a sound foundation. And that gives me the confidence to build off that.
Well, football people are always a good thing. You know, certainly sounds a bit of a dream team. I look at this season and I look back and you won the Manager of the Month in December, deservedly so, because you took all 12 points, I think, from 4 games. And we always say how important the Christmas period is, but there's also then that poison chalice of Manager of the Month. Is that where maybe you finally thought that, yeah, we could do this, we could really push on and take the title?
I think, you know, I had a meeting with the lads today and we were chatting, a little bit of reminiscing, you know, because we've earned that right to. And there's a few periods along the season that, you know, I raised my eyebrows and thought, okay, a few comebacks, a few performances and displays in the FA Cup run that kind of, you know, raise eyebrows and kind of, you can see there's a spirit, there's a determination, there was a resilience there. And obviously, you know, we've got the ability, we've got the players, we had the goals. And, you know, you just think this could be possible. But, you know, you never count your chickens. Well, everything's always the next practice focus, literally not even next game focus. You know, it's the next training session. And you just believe that if you carry on working diligently. And we sat down and we broke the season up into brackets and periods. And I asked the lads in terms of what points do we think we can collect on each month. And the lads had us down overall, and we built up to pretty much, I think, mid-80s points. And we were like, well, that's winning the league. So very optimistic, good belief. But, you know, we surpassed that, which is crazy when you look at our record, how many games we've lost this season. It's just been phenomenal.
And you've got, you get two all draw at Chorley on Monday, secures the title, which means trophy presentation on Saturday in your final game of the season at home in front of what will be a bumper crowd because you're against Hereford. I'm excited. I'm not even going to be there.
Yeah. No, it's spot on. It's going to be a really special day, a proud day for the lads. A day that, you know, this week's been, obviously, you know, boys, we've gone out and we've had our celebrations, and rightly so. But Saturday is going to be, you know, a really special day. And I think that, you know, the lads get to bring their family and friends with no pressure. We go out there, you know, we're prepared, we want to win the game, we want to finish, you know, I think we're 97 goals. So we've got little mini targets, you know, we've got Keds and McCauley who are fighting for the golden boot, things like that. So we want to finish it off in style. But ultimately, like you say, the day is for the community, it's for the fans, it's for the players, you know, family and friends to all come in. It will be brilliant. Really looking forward to it myself.
I like the fact that you've got those 97 goals at the moment. You've still got that 100-goal target in your mind. And that's great to hear. But how much of an advantage and weight off your mind is it knowing that it's all done? You've got one game to go, no playoffs to face. You can get on with organising for next season.
Yeah, it's massive. Like I say, it's, for me, it's one of the biggest rewards of, you know, of doing so well. The fact that we get to, the pressure is just a natural relief, and the lads can enjoy it. And, you know, obviously, if we would have gone into the last game needing a point, you know, it would have been a nice way to do it at home. But ultimately, you definitely choose this way because we can enjoy the week, we can enjoy the prep, and plan the celebrations. Lads, you know, they booked a breakaway in celebration. They were, you know, they didn't want to do that until the title was confirmed, which, you know, they get that luxury now and they deserve it because they've just worked their socks off all season.
Yeah, and we've had the dates of when the new season is going to start. It's going to be a fairly short summer. Many changes likely ahead of the next season in your squad?
Hopefully not, no. Hopefully, you know, we've got a good amount of players contracted now. The club, since I've been here, the last couple of months has been the first time when we've actually been able to hand 2-year contracts out. So, you know, from the first day I came in, we've just been handing, you know, 1 year at a time, year to year. So every single year has been a full retention recruitment plan. But this year, you know, we've got, you know, a good amount signed on, and we're going to have to add, you know, a couple of additions. We're going to have to look at the loan market. Like I say, we're going to have a modest budget again for next season. But like I say, we just want to keep building and keep that momentum.
And talking of momentum, who do you think might have the momentum for the playoffs in National North now?
That's a difficult one. That is a really difficult one. I think, you know, I bumped into Scotty Barrow at York, and, you know, he's very confident. He's they're coming good. Obviously, still to get in there, you know, Kettering is still on the last day pushing for a win to get in there. And they've hit some good form. Ian Culverhouse there, I know well. You know, he's got that experience with Kingsland. But I don't know. Obviously, Brackley have just been up there. They've been. You know, obviously they beat us at their place recently. So I couldn't call it. I really couldn't.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting all the way through. But you can sit back and enjoy and take a much well deserved break. If I had a hat, Mike, I'd be tipping it at you now because you know, fair play to everything you've achieved there, and we wish you luck for next season as well. And thank you for coming on the Non-League Football Show.
No problem. Thank you very much. Cheers, Tim.
So now we've been doing this show for, 16 years now. And the best bit about it is the people you get to meet. You get to stay in touch with some of these people. You get to know some of them, some of these people. Sometimes you don't hear from them until you maybe, like I do, I have with our next guest. I've sent him the wrong text at some point that was intended to go to someone else. But then you get opportunities to pick up with these people. I'm so pleased that my next guest was able to link up with us again. Even more so because the last time we spoke on this show, times were very, very different. As one of the guests I probably get asked most about It's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show to Vice Chairman of Skelmersdale United, Mr. Norman Feeney. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Norman.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thank you.
Well, Norman, I'm sure our listeners will remember, I wanted to get you back on. As I said, you are actually the guest that people probably remember more than they remember me, actually. But, you know, it's an appearance we can all remember. Caroline Barker was back guest presenting at that time. I was in the background in my producer's chair. Thursday, the 30th of March, 2017, we spoke and you told us that in that phone call that after 2 years of negotiations with your then landlords at the club, you're unable to reach a sensible conclusion for a lease extension, and that the very next day could possibly be the end of the football club. I think your family had been involved in for over 135 years or something. I'm not sure there was a dry eye in the house at the time. To cut a long story shorty, story short, that's what we're going to do here. Thankfully, I think at the time Prescott Cables assisted with the ground share, the club limped along, got relegated out of the Northern Premier League at the end of 2018-19. But you've been able to regroup in the Northwest Counties League. You've got a new ground at JMO Sports Park on a 3G. At the weekend, I talk about Hollywood wanting new scripts that just follow non-league. At the weekend, you beat Cinderford Town in one of those step four, step five playoffs that puts you back in step four. I mean, how's the last several years since we last spoke? How's that been for you? Some sort of roller coaster of emotion, I'd imagine.
Very much so. From that day when we were evicted from the ground, we were very, very close to, like you said, to folding the club. We just could not afford to go on, but with donations by myself and my wife and the chairman, Paul Rickerson, one or two other committee members, we kept on going. We had the ground share with Prescott, but unfortunately, there wasn't many people going to Prescott. We were looking to get three figures on a Saturday afternoon. But John Mallinson, who owns the JMO sports complex, he's a local scam gentleman and has a very, very good business doing all the doing sports grounds, etc. And he called us in for a meeting and he said, look, I used to go past Skelmersdale United football ground when it was in another part of town, and he said, and I always used to look across and see it there, he said, and I don't want to see your club go under. He said, so I'm quite prepared. He has two full-size pitches, 3G, and I think it's nine other various size pitches on the complex. He said, so I'm quite prepared to make one of those pitches into a stadium for you to use. So that was like, I don't know, that was an absolutely fantastic thing to hear. You know, not just for me, but for everyone connected to the club. And then he actually started to do it, and we could see it progressing slowly. The terrace is going in, a little stand, and he's not finished by a long way. He said he's going to make it a really fantastic home for Skelmersdale United, and I believe me, he will. But since then, since we were on the verge of folding, we just kept on going week to week. And then when we were relegated down to the Northwest Counties, our current manager, Paul, who we appointed just over 3 years ago now, he got a bunch of lads together, and we had that good cup run where we went to the first round proper, FA Cup, and we were beat at Harrogate Town. But that put us on a good footing financially. And there, by the grace of God, go we, you know what I mean? It's one of those stories that if that hadn't have happened, then we probably wouldn't have been anywhere near getting a team good enough to get us back up into the Northern Premier League, which we now are. So that's where it's been up to now, and we're sort of, you know, we all work for the club, we all want to see it progress. And that's from, you know, from the game and through to the German sort of thing. Everyone's really, and the amount of people coming now since we moved back into Scamadilla and GMO, I'm getting, like I said, getting the ground a crowd of 100 and less to our last home game, the last home game of the season. You were looking at 450 people, and the previous game before that was like 380, I think. So the crowds have been getting more and more as you know as we've gone along the season, and touch wood, we've had a really good season, and it'll get even better on Saturday if we win that semi final. So that's where we are at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I said you'd. It's literally, I mean, it really is. It's 5 years, you know, give or take a few weeks to that moment where say that the club nearly folded. And then on Saturday, you win down at Cinderford Town, a long journey, tough game against a club that are in a high level, right? They've not had the greatest of the season. That's why they're playing in the playoff. But a 5-1 victory to come away from that, I mean, that's a good day out, isn't it?
As you know, I was on holiday, and actually, we were coming up with M5 as the players' coach and the supporters' coach was going down to Cinderford. But all the reports and all the bits I've seen on YouTube or what have you, Scamisdale United that day were really, really good. And once they got the second goal early in the second half, they just took control and went on from there. I'm on the coast getting all sorts of messages telling me the scores and what have you. And me and my wife, like, we're jumping up and down on the coast, and people were looking around thinking, what's up with them?
You're getting all of those texts, but did you reflect back to those five years ago? You know, like this week, on Monday, my side, Hazen Yedding, we've been up near the top of the table in our division, finished second in the league, get through to the playoff final, home advantage, and we lost. And I've had lots of messages this week to say to people, I'm sorry, feel really bad for you, and that's we're gutted. We're gutted we're not going up, but. Yeah. The way I look at it, I was lucky to have an enjoyable season this year. We've won some great games. We've seen some great football. And yes, it's disappointing at the end of the season, but my football club's still there. And there's other clubs, other people involved in other clubs that have had much worse seasons than I have.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about getting you back on, Norman, because 5 years on, you show us that the wonders of non-league football, why we all still do it.
That's very, very true. You know, people don't realise what it takes in a league, what it takes to run a non-league football club. It's there's so much work done behind the scenes that people don't realise. And it's crazy, you know, because the person who wouldn't, like you say, the 5 years, the person who wouldn't give us the lease for the old ground is now dead. You know, and that's got nothing to do with it, I suppose. But the ground as it was then was a lovely little ground. And when he took it back off us, he didn't do a thing to it. He just totally, he took the stand because he actually bought Berska Football Club, and he took the stand and took it to Berska. The social club we had under burned down. Saying nothing about that, but. But now that ground is derelict, and it's full of travellers' caravans. Because we got a phone call a few weeks ago to say from the local council to say that on the land registry we were still owners of that that ground, which we never was. And they said we're just ringing to let you know there are travellers on your ground, and we said yes. Yeah, we do know because, you know, we go past it now and again. But it's ironic how things have turned out. In actual fact, it's probably done us a favour by throwing us off. Now being at GMO Sports Park and the progression we've made from then. But at the beginning of the season, you know, we chat as a committee and we chat as supporters with other supporters, and everyone said, well, if we could finish in the top half of the league, we'll have a good season. And, you know, by the grace of God, we finished runners up. And we've now got promoted, so it's like someone up there smiling at us for a change.
Well, as I always tell, you know, people involved in my club, you have to make your own luck. And I think you're one of those examples, Norman, because not only did your guys win promotion back to Step 4 on Saturday, but you had a rather tiny matter of a Cup quarter final against the league champions of Macclesfield on Bank Holiday Monday. You switched the tie. We'll come to that in a minute. But played at Macclesfield. You won with a last-minute equaliser. I mean, if Hollywood aren't ringing while we're having this conversation, I don't know why not.
Again, I can only go off what I said because I wasn't there. And people tell me that they played some absolutely marvellous football. You know, which we did when we went there in the league and got beat, but that's the difference in football. One week you'll get a result, and then the next week you won't. So that's football. You know, but to beat them, it was rather pleasing.
Before people think that Norman's been slacking off, he did have a well-deserved break that had been booked for a long time, so he missed the playoff final, and then he's been unwell.
We my wife and I had this booked early in the year, so we weren't really expecting to. we were at the end of the season. But there was no one more upset about it than myself and my wife with the fact that we couldn't go because we were even talking about asking the coach driver coming up the M5 could he drop us off and we would get a taxi to the ground. But in the end, we said, well, no, let's not.
Well, see, Norman, you already have legendary status, both in Skem and on the non-league football show throughout our audience. So, you know, not being there probably gives you even more legendary status, I think. It sort of boosts you up there. But, I mean, most clubs have, by now, they've put their feet up already. They're sort of considering what's going on. But, you know, you've now got a semi-final to play on Saturday against what Charnock Richard, who I think finished fourth, didn't they?
It's what, sorry?
Did they finish they finished fourth behind you?
And the third or fourth, I'm not sure which. So yeah, we've got them on Saturday at being played at Charlie's ground because Charnock Richard had their turf removed, ready for the relaying of a new pitch, so we're playing at a Charlie, so that'll be should be another good game.
So still lots of excitement to come in this season. And you say about that they're having their pitch renovated. You obviously for that game on Monday you conceded home advantage to Macclesfield because there's necessary works on the 3G pitch at the JMO to get the FIFA
That's
test
right.
required for next season. There are, as you touched upon, there's so many things go on and you have to think about in running a football club that most fans just don't see.
Yeah. But the reason we had to move it, the game, was the pitch didn't pass the FIFA bounce test, which you have to have to play in league football, any league. So it ended up, we couldn't get a ground, we could have gone to a ground close by, could have hired a ground, but in the end we decided it would be better. No one was coming forward to volunteer the ground, you know what I mean? Even though they would have been paid quite handsomely with it being Macclesfield. So in the end, the manager said, well, fair enough, let's go to Macclesfield because it's a decent pitch, you know, big club, let's go and play them again up there and see what we can do. But I was fully expecting after Saturday, the lads that have been sort of celebrating heavy on Saturday night and Sunday, that they wouldn't be up for it on Monday, but apparently they were.
Well, it sounds, you know, if you, I say about creating your own luck, I hope Mrs. Finney's already booking a holiday for next year's playoffs just in case you get there. So, create that luck, and as much as we'd all love you to be there and that. the JMO then, your new home, I think, since what, Boxing Day 2019, it's sort of been a catalyst for success, isn't it? You mentioned that FA Cup first round against Harrogate Town, and getting the lads together and this group. It does sound like the club's booming again, both on and off the field.
We are, you know, like I say, by the grace of God, go we. But everyone is brought together, and as far as we're concerned, it's onwards and upwards now. From you know, we've got it back on a sound footing, and from being people wanting to call a meeting to disband the club. You know what I mean? And I said then to the chairman and one or two others, I said, look, I will never let the name of Scamisdale United die, even if it means putting a team in the Sunday League somewhere. At Scamisdale United will not let it die. And thankfully, we're still here.
You're still here, and you're still talking to us. Promotion back to the Northern Premier League. I mean, how far can the club move up? Is the JMO really a long-term option? And that's a long-term partnership there now?
It is, yeah. We've initially got a 10-year lease. Well, it's not a lease, it's a license, actually, because John Mallinson, who owns the complex, he leases it from the local council. Right. So he can't sublease it to us. So we have to have what they call a license, which is sort of agreeable by the FA and other authorities, which we have now got. So, but that's for 10 years. John himself wanted it to give us for 20, 30 years. He doesn't want us to move anywhere. He comes to Holyoke, he's 81, and he still works as hard as any of his boys when they go out doing grounds throughout the country. But he comes to most of our home games on a Saturday afternoon, and he absolutely loves it. He comes in and has a cup of tea at half time, and says, how many's on, you know what I mean? He's really interested in the club, and like I said, we're very, very grateful to what John did for us and what he will do for us. So, thankful to him a lot.
Well, and we're thankful to you, Norman, as well, for your faith in the club, your faith in non-league, your faith in people, and joining us back on the Non-League Football Show. I'm looking forward to an opportunity to come up and have one of those half-time cup of teas with you as well, and finally get to meet the legend that is Norman Feeney, and enjoy. Skelmersdale United, as we all can, thanks to your hard work and your commitment. I thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Look after yourself, Norman.
I will, Tim, and you'll be made most welcome if you do come up. And it's been a great pleasure speaking to you again. So thank you very much.
So let's round off this week's news then. Time once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. And welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Hi, James. How are you?
I'm good. I've probably got a nearer a smile than the last time that we met, John. It's all coming to a conclusion, isn't it? Steps 3 and 4, we know who's going to be playing in what step, but maybe not quite what leagues or divisions, but we will get there. Obviously, congratulations to the playoff winners, Canvey Island, Herne Bay, Mask United, Belper Town, Marine, Hamilton, Ware, Winchester City, they're all moving up to step 3, and well done to Cheshunt, Scarborough, Peterborough Sports and Farnborough, who make the move up to step 2 in the conference. It's some big changes, really, isn't there? Some big names going up, some names that are going up for the first time. We'll have to get our head around this over the summer.
That's right. I mean, playoff week is a strange week, because it just seems that over the course of like a 42-game season, everything just happens so quickly, and the season finishes with a lot of questions still to be answered, and all of a sudden, within days, they are answered. And obviously, it's either an ultimate high or an ultimate low. But it just seems to have finished really, really quickly again this year. And all of a sudden, step 3 and 4 is done for another year, and we can concentrate on steps 1 and 2. Even though steps 2 look as though it's done and dusted now as well, with Kate said winning the league, and think Billericay, unfortunately, have been relegated from the south. So yeah, it's there isn't a lot to play for anymore these last couple of weeks. Although we do have a very tasty National League title race to play, so still plenty more exciting football left to play.
Yeah, in that top tier, you mentioned we've still got plenty to play for. I mean, we talk about Hollywood storylines again and again, week in, week out on this one. But at the top, Stockport County can win the title, I believe, with victory at second place Wrexham. I mean, is there another dramatic twist to come in this one?
That's right, it's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, sadly, it's not great for us because they're playing it on Sunday on BT Sport, but obviously non-league paper comes out on Sunday. This is our big game, so we've had to run it as a preview as opposed to a match report, which we'd love to have done. Love to have got our teeth into that one, but so it's not great timing for us, but I mean, what great timing for a game of that magnitude? You know, two or three games from the end, Stockport, as you say, can win it with victory over Wrexham, who slipped up, didn't they, on Monday at Bournemouth, and that late Tyrone Marsh penalty is giving another twist to it. Oh, I mean, it is at Wrexham. There's a sellout crowd. Not an easy place to go to. So it won't be easy for Stockport, who've got a bit of a tough running. So they're going to need to get these last remaining points done as quickly as possible. But it really does promise to be an exciting finish.
Yeah, everybody, you know, certainly we say step three, step four has all finished. Everybody's saying, oh, yeah, the season's finished. Everybody's it's a quiet time. I know from anybody involved in football that the close season's far from a quiet time. It's probably the busiest time for anybody trying to run a football club. But there's still so many other things going on. Obviously, there's the battle then for the who's going to finish in these playoff spots at the top of the National League as well.
That's right, and that's building up nicely as well. Chesterfield have gone on another little sticky run of form, albeit against some top sides they played these last couple of weeks, and now they're only 3 points ahead of Dagenham, who are on the periphery and looking to claw that back. That's one interesting tale still soon to be told. It's done at the bottom now. Sadly, Kings Lynn saw the shot, but certainly that last remaining playoff place, or possibly even last two remaining playoff places, still up for grabs. And anything can happen. And my eyes are on Chesterfield to see if it's squeaky bum time up there in Derbyshire. I certainly hope not for their supporters, but. It's always nice when there's a nice little late twist, isn't there? You know, for us neutrals, you know, just to keep us all interested right up until the final kick.
Indeed, and you mentioned Kings Lynn there. That they are confirmed that they're going to be relegated. But talk about going down with a fight.
Oh, they certainly did. Yeah, they gave it a great go under Tommy Ridington. I know I'm sort of quite close to the Aldershot ranks, and they were. Quite regularly as their own form dipped, and fortunately for them, they just managed to find a little second win just towards the end and just get over the line. But Kings Lynn certainly didn't go without a fight, and they're lucky. There was a couple of games where they let in late equalisers, which would have made it even more interesting. I think Yeovil was one in particular. That was a big game for them, which they let in a 93rd minute equaliser. So it was tough on them, but they certainly showed enough in the last few weeks of that season to suggest that they're going to be a tough nut to crack next year.
Yeah, and You mentioned there a step two. We've got Gateshead and Mason United going up. The playoffs. So we learnt this week the revealed by the National League step two competitions. The eliminator games are going to be next Wednesday and Thursday before the semi-finals next weekend. Well, Saturday the 14th, Sunday the 15th, and then the finals on the 21st of May. You know, well, we say that lower down football's finished, but there's still plenty to come in steps one and step two.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's some big clubs involved, both in the north and in the south. Clubs who have been there before, who will be looking to get over the line. I mean, I think when I say that, I always think of Dartford and poor old Stevie King, who seems to be the playoff fall guy. I mean, I think it's about five times he's lost in the playoffs now, and I really hope for Steve, because he's a friend of ours at Non-League Towers, and we got a lot of time for Steve, and we just hope that hoodoo doesn't come back to haunt him again. But they've had a little bit of a sticky run in recent weeks, and watched the likes of Dorkin and Maidstone make a big move on them towards the title. Congratulations to Maidstone. That's a incredible achievement to win that. Dorking Wanderers are going to be very, very tough to beat in the south. And of course, in the north you've got the likes of York City in there, Brackley Town with their very impressive defensive record. And they're going to be two big teams to beat. And great to see Kettering in there as well. You know, nice little shout out to Kettering, nice little club, very well run. And yeah, it'll be nice to see them back in the top flight.
Yeah, and we've also got that step six playoffs still going ahead as well. And it could be that we almost have a perfect pyramid to start the new season off with.
That's right. I mean, we were talking about that, and you know, all of a sudden things are starting to click into place. But there's slightly talk of maybe another restructure. Mm. Down in the southwest, that's something we've reported on a couple of times in recent weeks, where obviously the fuel costs haven't made life easy for some of those clubs down in the southwest, with 200 mile plus round trips, which is not ideal at that level of football. So I hope they can get that sorted out and clubs can benefit that. But hopefully, that can be resolved, and the perfect pyramid. It certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what we'd all talk about if we actually had a perfect pyramid. Certainly, the message boards across non-league would be a lot quieter, because it wouldn't be all the keyboard warriors making complaints. But as well as the step three, step four playoffs, we also had those step four and five playoffs on Saturday. So. Congratulations to Consett, Witham Town, Boldmere St Michael's, Lancing, Kempton Rovers and Skelmersdale United, we spoke to earlier on in the show. They're all going to have step four football this season. And it was interesting to see that there was a 50-50 split on winners there, half retaining their status, half moving up via those playoffs. So I guess that's a win for the playoffs.
Yes, it was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. I think that was... It was a victory for the interstep, because it was something we haven't seen before. It would have been interesting to see just which level came through. I know there's a lot of very, very strong step five teams in there, so it doesn't surprise me that it was an even split. And also, if you look throughout the playoffs, you look at the percentage of clubs who finished second in their respective leagues who didn't go up. That was quite interesting as well. In fact, I think there's a higher percentage of clubs who finished fifth that did go up than those who finished second, which is an incredible stat. And but as I say, that's playoff football. That's nothing new. They're one-off cup finals. Anything can happen, as we've seen over the last week. And certainly the interstep thing, it's been a great success. Crowds were high, which was good. These clubs got big coverage all over all over the country, and big tick in the box of Interstep playoffs, and look forward to seeing them again next year.
Yeah, and on that note, on step four promotion playoffs, I think only two of them were actually won by the runners up, and there were three of those step four promotion playoff finals were won by a team that finished fifth or sixth. I mean, that's it does show that form's a big thing at come the end of the season if you're in the playoffs.
It did. Momentum is everything. Yeah. I think I've lost count the amount of times that managers have said that to me that, these last couple of weeks, but they're dead right. Momentum is everything. Looking at the National League, if you could beat a Grimsby and just sneak in there with a little 7 or 8 match unbeaten run, all of a sudden you're a decent prospect, and you're not a team that people are going to want to play against. So there's plenty of there's plenty of opportunities still there for those National League clubs in particular, who still got a lot to play for, and that's why you wouldn't really want to be in Chesterfield's boots at the moment. You need to get at least one or two big wins under your belt before those playoffs get underway. Otherwise, you could be coming up against a team banging form.
Yeah, and you mentioned there that, you know, those playoff finals, it was great to see some bumper crowds all across the country. But there was one disappointing thing, and we both witnessed it, and it was seen up and down the country at various of these playoff games. Some, what should we say, ill behaviour by some of those attending the playoffs. I won't call them fans because I'm not sure they were fans of their club or even fans of football, and certainly real fans aren't going to be fans of theirs either. What we need to ensure is that the troubles of the past that were in the higher levels of football don't return to haunt our level of football. I almost think that the upper echelons of football probably need to step forward and help, because volunteer run clubs at our level with one or two games, big games a season that attracts this sort of thing, they can only do so much, and they probably need help, advice from others with more experience, more knowledge, and quite probably with financial assistance with that too, to keep us all safe. Do we need another plea out to the football authorities, to the Premier League, to clubs to sort of assist non-league?
Well, we got one coming in this week's paper, very much along those lines. It was a reporter who witnessed some trouble between Peterborough and Colville this week, sadly, and it's initially set as a reminder to supporters to to think about what they're doing to their clubs, because you call them supporters. I don't know if they're supporters, real non-league supporters. To me, wouldn't cause trouble like that at certainly at non-league level or above. We've won a big column this week, indicating that there has been a problem, sadly, this year. There's been more than I can remember complaints, news filtering through of trouble, videos as well. Obviously, we're in the social media age now, and these things do often get caught on video or pictures. So, there's no hiding place now. I'd like to think that this isn't enough. This isn't something that non-league has suffered for many years. I think is it a generational thing? I don't know. There's certainly something there that non-league football needs to address. You know, we've heard a lot about the non-league way and the football family, and that's true. I like to think that's true, but certainly not what we've seen has been the non-league way or the non-league family at various points this season, which is sad. And it does need eradicating. If we can get help from elsewhere to help us to do that, then of course it's got to be a positive.
Yeah, and we need to act fast as well, because we talk about the close season, and that's always a busy time for anybody involved in a football club. But I mean, some news this week that the league's already getting details out of an early start to the season. The Southern League Premier fixtures look like they're going to get underway on the 6th of August. The Division 1's a week later on the 13th. But the 13th's also the weekend that the Northern Premier League have said that they're going to get their season underway. The National League look like they're going to get underway on Saturday the 6th of August. And that's, of course, the same weekend that the FA Cup begins with the extra preliminary round. So it looks like it's going to be another one of those short summers this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did. The next thing you know, we're back into pre-season, and then all the clubs are playing again, and the league starts. League starts within what is it 3 months now already? So yeah, it's going to be a short summer. Obviously, the playoff final weekend is not until the end of May, obviously, finals day, the promotion final. So yeah, they'd still be putting until the end of May. Knowing these clubs, I think they'll be back in pre-season certainly before the start of July. And then then we're in pre-season mode, and with our football hats very much on again. And and before we know it, we're going to do it all over again. But it's what we all want. We all love. We all love to see football. I think we all deserve a little break. All those managers and players and volunteers who have worked so hard over the course of the last 9 months. You know, I think everyone deserves a good little break. And it'd be great to get the new season back again with all these clubs playing at different levels. And it'll be an exciting year ahead. I'm sure.
Yeah, with limited time off, I suppose it's not a great time to be the travel agent friend of anybody involved in a non-league football club. We're not going to get to too many weeks out of them this year. You say about, you know, managers don't like having time off anyway, do they? I mean, speaking to managers this week, that their season's already finished, they're already recruiting and planning for next season. There have been a number of managerial changes, of course, with seasons over in many cases. But one in particular note, mainly because he's not gone too quietly, Steve McKim, after 8 years at Tunbridge Angels, has been let go. He's been successful in a different way there, isn't he? I think limited resources and kept them at step two there. I'm sure he's going to be one of those managers in much demand in the coming weeks.
Yeah, big surprise. I the first I heard of this was actually reading Steve's tweet when he said I was given a remit. I did what I asked to do. I kept Tunbridge Angels in a very tough division with a limited budget, and then they let me go. So he was a bit miffed. We spoke to Steve this week. I haven't read the piece yet, so I couldn't tell you exactly what he said. But I think that was actually done today. But he's clearly a bit miffed. A good manager at that level, especially. Somebody he's local to Tunbridge. He's well known in those parts, and those parts of Kent. And for some reason they've decided to go down a different route, which is a bit of a surprise. Especially as I say, he's kept them up, and he's given them another season in a league where they are punching above their weight. They've decided to pull the trigger. But he won't be out of the game long. He's a wise man. He's Steve, and he'll be in the running for any vacancies that pop up in the next few weeks. It is the start of silly season. I think there's been a few up and down the pyramid these last couple of weeks, and I think that may go on for another couple of weeks' time once everyone settles down, but he'll certainly be in the running somewhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a time of the year where that managerial merry-go-round is almost like on free play, isn't it? Because, you know, people are hopping about here, there and everywhere. And then you'll see the players following them around as well, and the coaching staff as well. So, as you say, we'll soon be within pre-season, but knowing exactly the format of clubs up and down the land is going to be difficult until those seasons get underway. I'm sure a few more managerial moves to report on over the weekend. Anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
We've got all the playoff fallout. We had a nice interview with Phil Parkinson after Altrincham announced that they were going to go full time next year, which is to be honest with you, the way they played the last couple of years, I'm surprised they're not full time already. I mean, they've had another very good season and with their full time status could be a big threat next year. So we got a nice chat with them. We are focusing on Taunton Town, who are giving a testimonial on Friday to Lloyd and Owen Irish, two of their big stalwarts. We've got various bits on. Oh, it's put me on the spot now. We've got obviously all the playoff stuff. The managers involved, the managers and players have been involved in the playoffs. Big piece on Gateshead after they won National League North. Similarly, we've spoken to the Maidstone manager Hakan Hayretin, and the big preview for the big game on Sunday, Wrexham Stockport, and hopefully we're going to get some up to date information and news from the two managers ahead of that big game, which sadly is not on a Saturday, but still that's me being selfish. But I mean, it's certainly a game we're looking forward to. So yeah, plenty in this week's news, and hope you pick it up if you can.
Well, that'll be a good reason to get up on Sunday morning, even though I haven't got football to worry about on Saturday. I will be concerning myself with the fixtures up and down the land and making sure that I'm reading the match reports that are still going on and all the other information in the non-league paper. John Couch, thanks for joining us.
Well-earned break, Tim.
a break, I'm telling you, it's the busiest time of the year for anybody involved in the football club. Yeah. Please, anybody that wants to doubt me, come and shadow. Come and go to your local club. Go and see what's going on. Get involved in the maintenance team. Go pick up a paintbrush. There's lots to be done. Don't just walk away from your non-league club now for the summer and come back in August. We need you now.
Exactly. Couldn't put it better myself. Those people are worth their weight in gold for football clubs. And now's the time to do it. As you say, you know, get your ground ready for next season, and let's build on the momentum of what's been a great season. And start all over again come August, but your club does need you, yeah, definitely.
So that's it then for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and for you for listening. Before we go, I must say another big shout out and congratulations to our very own Phil Annetts at FA Cup Fact File. We've spoken about his book FA Cup 150 enough on this show that you surely all have a copy by now, and if you do, what a trailblazer you are, for FA Cup 150 has now been shortlisted in the Sports Book of the Year Awards. Football books, it's a competitive market at the best of times, but to be the only self-published one on the shortlist is something remarkable without the support of the big marketing team that all the other rivals will have had. We are very proud of Phil, and we raise a glass to him and all his hard work, and hope to have him back on the show very, very soon. Well done, Phil. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the week and throughout the season on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe. Enjoy your football, what's left of it. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.